My name is Tom. Welcome to those of you here in the field. Hello, Zoomers. I'm a little further back because I want more shade. Hope that's okay. It's needed this morning. Praise God for warmth today. Tell me, have you had an experience like this? Can you relate to this? The other night, middle of the night, probably 2, 3 in the morning, my eyes pop open and I smell smoke. And I smell a strong smell of smoke. And of course, my brain immediately goes, there's a fire in the house, we're all going to die. And of course, our smoke detectors keep going off, so the way to keep beeping all the time, so we pull the battery, so that's not that helpful. And so I'm thinking of that, I'm regretting that in the moment. And then I start going around, but we have a big window fan blowing in air from outside, and I smell in the fan, and it's coming in from outside, and I smell in different parts of the house, I don't smell any smoke, and so I like sit back down in the bed. I'm like trying to calm, but you know how your adrenaline kicks in and you can't get to sleep. And then Val says, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, I smell this smoke and it woke me up. So I just want to make sure it was nothing." And she said, "What smoke? I don't smell anything." I was like, "What?" It's really strong. And she says, "I don't smell any smoke." And then what pops in my brain is a conversation I had with my niece. And she was telling me about this guy that she knew who had a stroke right in front of her. And right before he had a stroke, he said, "I smell toast." And turns out, before you have a stroke, you smell toast. That's like a weird phenomenon that your brain triggers a smell of toast before a stroke. So, of course, what does my brain do at that moment? Oh, my God, Tom, you're going to have a stroke. This is the moment before you have a stroke. This is the moment before you lose control of your body and your brain and ability to form words, and life's going to change, and it's prepared to happen. Well, don't fall asleep, because if you're awake, they can catch it quick and deal with it. But if you fall asleep, then they don't deal with it in the morning, and it's way worse. And so all this fear runs through my body, and it's so silly and so unfounded. And praise the Lord, of course I did not have a stroke. And I did not have fire. There was no fire in the house. But isn't it crazy how the brain immediately goes to fear of the worst case scenario on things like that? Have you ever had something like that? Like maybe it's a little twinge in your chest and all of a sudden like, oh, I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack. And your brain does that. Or, all right, what's this little bump? I got this little bump. It must be cancer. Or anything on Google, if you search it up, I swear it'll say cancer. Because we're so ready to fear. I think it's just part of human nature, the human condition. I don't know if it's because we're our fragility or whatever, but we're so prone to fear, just going straight to the worst case scenarios and sleepless nights because of a little pain in your lungs or something, and you think, well, it must be something terrible. And go straight to these worst case scenario stuff. Well, today we're talking about fear. And not like fear, what we talked about a few weeks ago about fear in our relationship with God and fear versus joy. Not that. This is fear in relations to our circumstances around us, about dealing with fear, specifically when God calls us into areas that bring up fear in us, how we respond. And we're going to see our morning passage is coming out of the book of Joshua. We're in week 2 of the series of looking at the life of Joshua. And the title of this series is Living Out a Courageous Faith. A courageous faith. Instructions on following God boldly. We're looking at the life of Joshua, and we want to mimic that because God's done a lot of great things through Joshua. God really worked mightily through him, and we see in him that he was a man of faith that lived out a courageous faith. And so we want to look at his life and compare it with ours, and so hopefully that we can mimic some of those same things so we can see God working us in the same way. We saw last week from Numbers 13 and 14 how when Joshua was just one of the many Israelites, and we saw last week Israelites, their mistake when they were unwilling to trust God in the face of opposition. He called them going to the promised land, and they said, no way, the opposition's too tough, and they refused to go in, they refused to trust God, and because of that, they missed out on experiencing God's blessing, and so we got to beware of that, of willingness to trust God in the face of opposition. Today, we're fast-forwarding 40 years from that, so after they didn't go in the promised land, God sent them out and said, fine, none of you are going to the promised land ever then, except for Joshua and Caleb, because they wanted to go in. This is 40 years later. All the Israelites are dead. They all died. That whole generation. Now the next generation is raised up. Everyone 20 and younger, everyone 20 and over has now died. And the next generation is raised up. This is 40 years after that. And they're ready to go into the promised land. This is a significant time because Moses has passed away. Moses is one of them. And Moses had been their leader all this time. And now it falls to Joshua. Joshua is now in charge after Moses. And you want to talk about a fearful situation. I mean, you guys all know that you don't want to be the guy that follows the guy. Like, that's a really tough thing to be the guy that follows the guy. Well, Moses was the guy, and now Joshua is the guy following the guy. So that's a really tough situation. He's leading at this time about 2 million people. That's how many people, how many Israelites. Back in Numbers 26, it revealed there was about 600,000 men, fighting-aged men, at that time. So 600,000 men, throwing the women, kids, it's probably 1.5, 2 million people, something like that. So a ton of people. Scary, right? And he's not only leading this huge amount of people with all their idiosyncrasies and politics that go into that. Now he's got to go up against the armies and nations that are in this the promised land, as all these tough nations are still there. And I'm sure for Joshua, there was a lot of possible, like, what ifs, a lot of worst case scenarios, a lot of sleepless nights of like, oh my gosh, what if, how could this all go wrong, and this is never going to work, and all that. And so you can picture the situation Joshua is in and the difficulties facing. So that brings us to our passage this morning, which is Joshua chapter 1, the beginning of the book of Joshua. Joshua 1, we're going to do verses 1 through 9. It's in your bulletins there for those of you here that have a yellow bulletin. For those of you on Zoom, I hope you turn there, Joshua 1, 1 through 9. And this is what it says. Joshua 1, 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you to the Israelites. Or give to them, to the Israelites. Verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's pray. God, I pray for your help and understanding this morning, that you, by your Spirit, would take this thing written thousands of years ago, to a context then, and help us to apply it now to our context. Help us to understand what you told Joshua so that we too can apply that to our own lives. Help us to follow you boldly as Joshua did. And God, I pray that, you would grow in us a courage that would give you honor for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so our central truth this morning, our main point that comes from this passage that we're going to be talking about is this: I can follow God with strength and courage because God is with me. I can follow God with strength and courage because God is with me. These, if you'd like to do fill in the blanks, they're in the yellow bulletin. If that helps you follow along, that's the point of that. It's not homework. It's none of that. It's just, but if that helps you follow and think, kind of track, then that's what that's there for. So again, our main point: I can follow God with strength and courage because God is with me. We see in Joshua 1, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. He doesn't just say it once, which is plenty. He says it three times. If you got your pen, you could underline that. Verse 6, he underlined, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, underline, be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and courageous. Three different times, and in just one conversation, he tells Joshua the exact same thing: be strong and courageous. Do we think he means it? I think he means it, the fact that he told him three times. So that presupposes the question, though. Why do you think he had to be told that? Why did God have to tell him to be strong and courageous? Well, I think it's clear he had to be told to be strong and courageous, because the situation produces fear that he was coming into. God knew he was calling him into a situation that was very fearful. And because of that, he says, okay, the natural reaction, Joshua, is going to be fear. Instead, be strong, and courageous. And so that was true for Joshua, and I think it's also true for us today, that when God calls us, following God often leads us into situations that are wrapped with fear. That God often asks us to do things that are out of our comfort zone in a way that it produces fear in us, the what ifs in us, the worries in us. Doing the right thing is hard. Doing the right thing is scary. Has God been asking you to do something? What has God been asking you to do in your own life that produces fear, that produces worry? Is there a loved one, someone in your life that God's been moving in you, like, you really need to talk to this person about me? You really need to talk to them about God, about what he's done in your life, to share your own story of what difference God has made. Is there a difficult conversation that you know is supposed to happen, but you've kind of been shying away from because of fear or worry about how it could go wrong? Or maybe there's a wrong that you need to make right. Maybe you know there's a relationship that's broken and because of something you've done, and you need to make that wrong right. But you know it's going to be hard. It's going to take a reconciliation. Maybe you've been wronged, and you need to do the forgiving, but you still need to try to make that relationship right. But doing it produces fear. The idea of reaching out to this person produces fear. Or maybe you need to forego something that you in your life you know is wrong, something that you benefit from. Maybe it's a financial situation or something else, something at your job that you know isn't the right way to do things. God's been moving in you to address that thing. Following God is going to lead into uncomfortable situations. Following, saying yes to God means saying no to ourselves on a lot of things. And that produces a fear in us, a worry of what can happen. So our central truth, like with Joshua, I can follow God with strength and courage because God is with me. So this has two components to this central truth. There's two parts of it. First is my reaction. So when God calls me into a fearful situation, asks me to do something that makes me go, I don't want to do that. Go talk to that person right now on the bus that clearly needs someone to talk to. Nah, I don't want to do that. Fear. When God calls me to do that, the first part of it is my reaction. And so my reaction when God calls me to do this is courage. It's courage. So when God asks me, my reaction is courage. And that's the next fill in the blank. And what is courage? Courage is not the absence of fearful situations, but the willingness to proceed in the midst of fearful situations. So we think courage means never being afraid. No, that's not true. Fear, you can't have courage without fear. Because that's what courage is being confronted with fear and proceeding anyways, proceeding in the face of fear, like continuing in fear. It's not the absence of fear. If there's no fear, then there's no courage. I hate snakes. I'm scared to death of snakes. But if there was a snake crawling behind me and I didn't know it, there's no courage there because I didn't even know it was there, right? It's dealing with fear and being confronted with fear and continuing anyways. If no fear, there's no courage. So Luke and Jake, when they were little, they had to get shots, like other, you know, all kids have to get their shots, and they hated that part. And whenever we would go to get their shots, we'd go to the doctor, and they would ask, is there going to be shots? And I would say, I don't know, but yeah, probably, because there's always shots. But I would always tell them, okay, this is a time to use your courage. You don't get many chances in life to use your courage. But when you're faced with fear, it's an opportunity to use courage. That's a muscle we don't get to flex very often, a courage muscle. But courage could only be used in the face of fear. So when fear comes, how do I respond? Am I going to turn away and run away? Or encourage, am I going to proceed forward in the face of fear? And again, let me point out, as we follow God, we will face fearful situations. I would even argue we should be facing fearful situations in our life of faith. So let me follow that up. Does your version of faith require courage? Does your version of the life of faith, does it require courage? And if not, I would say, well, maybe that's a problem. Maybe what we've done is we've shied away from every area that's fearful and worrisome and, I don't know, and we only go for the comfortable, the safe, the easy. And what that ends up doing is turning our faith inward and my inward faith just about me and God, and which is great. That's all important, but it stops interacting with those around us. It stops making a difference in our context. I think for all of us, when God's using us for his kingdom, our faith isn't just about me and going to heaven. It's not just about me and knowing God. It's also so God can use me to advance his kingdom in those around us. I would hope that on this street corner, in this neighborhood, that we're known as a church that loves the neighborhood, that reaches out, that does that. I hope each one of us are known by our individual communities as a person of faith. You weren't just saved so you can go to heaven. You were saved so you could have impact for the kingdom of God. And here's the thing, all those areas that we're called to have impact into, there's usually going to be an association with fear when it's time to step out in obedience to God in those areas. When it's time to initiate that conversation, when it was time to reach out, it's going to be, I don't know, this could go wrong, and all the worrisome what ifs and worst case scenarios. That's the fear. And there's nothing wrong with the fear, but what we're called to is to advance in courage in the face of fear, to proceed anyway. Joshua was called into a very fearful situation, and that's why God told him, be strong and courageous. So your reaction when faced with fear in following God's lead is to respond with courage. A few examples of this. Listen to how Paul talks about faith in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. It's an amazing passage, and I don't know if any of us would call this our testimony, but this is Paul's testimony. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Christ so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. This whole idea that living out our faith is often going to come in conflict with the world, and there may be fearful situations, but yet God sees us through, continuing on. Yes, we're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Yes, we're perplexed, but not in despair, persecution, not abandoned. Acts 4 finds John and Peter in prison. Like, that's a pretty fearful situation. It's already going bad, and it's about ready to get worse. And the people in prison told them, no more talking about Jesus, or this is really going to get bad. Know what they were doing in prison? Singing praises to God. They weren't letting fear stop them. And when they got out, they said, who are we going to listen to, you or God? They were ready to proceed in the face of fear, have courage in the face of fear, following God's call. Okay, so when God calls us in a fearful situation, well, my reaction is courage. And then the second is, what's my reason? What's my reason to react with courage? Like, why can't I have courage? And that the reason is this. My courage is based on my confidence that God is with me. My courage is based on my confidence that God is with me. The reason God gave for Joshua to be strong and courageous, he says, the reason you should be strong and courageous, he says, I'm going to be there. I'll be with you. Verse 5, he says, I will be there. Verse 5, he says, end of verse 5, he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Notice it wasn't be strong and courageous because you can do it. Be strong and courageous because I've gifted you with a great personality and the winsomeness with words, and you can handle this problem on your own. It wasn't any of that. It would be strong and courageous because God says, I will be with you. And no, the situation had not changed. The armies were still there. The people still needed to be led. The fearful situation did not get moved off to the side. It was all still there. So the reason to be fearful is still there. But God said, be courageous. Why? Because I'm there. I'm with you. I'm gonna be with you the whole time. Conquering all that land? Ugh, scary. Yeah, but God's with you. He'll take care of it. Leading these people? I don't know about that. Well, just as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Fighting those battles in the army, he says, no one's going to be able to stand against you. Why? Because I'll be with you. God is the reason we don't have to fear. We can respond with courage when faced with a fearful situation, when he calls us into something hard. And his presence, that changes everything, right? That should matter. We just sang about the unchanging nature of God. If he's with me, that shouldn't matter. If he's asking me to do this, that should matter. So in verse 5, he tells Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He spoke those words to Joshua. Boy, that'd be nice, right? Wouldn't it be great if God told you that? I'll never leave you. Never, boy, that would be so nice to just have that to hold on to. Good news, he did. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, he says the same thing. He says to us, he says, be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid, responding in fear. So God spoke those same words to us. What he told Joshua, he's also told us that he's going to be with us. He's not going to leave us. This recalls to mind Romans 8, 31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? With God on our side, why do we fear? Like, what's, yes, things could go wrong. And if it's just on me, it probably will go wrong. But if God is with me, if God's asking me to do this thing, calling me to respond in obedience in this fearful situation, then I can trust him. We can follow God courageously. And nothing could change that. No hardship, no negative result. Romans 8:35 says, who should separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, none of that. Sometime you should look at 2 Corinthians 11:24 through 27. Paul lays out everything terrible that happened to him, and there's some terrible stuff, like stoned to death but didn't die, and whipped 40 minus one. That's because 40 times will kill you. He's got that one. He got shipwrecked and all kinds of stuff. It's just a terrible list. He went through all those hardships, but yet through it all, he says that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Well, he would know. He's been through all those fearful situations, and he knows God saw him through. So in the context of hardships, we can follow God with courage, with bravery, because nothing we face can separate us from the presence of God. Okay, so I can respond in fear. God calls me into a fearful situation. I can respond with courage. And the reason I can respond with courage, because I know God's with me. Well, there's a little important part of this I want to highlight here before we transition out of this. That reason, because I know God is with me, is dependent on my confidence that God is really with me. Because if I don't really believe that God is with me, well, then I won't have confidence that he's going to see me through, and then I won't have courage. Like, the reason I have courage is because he's with me, but what if I don't really believe that he's with me? Well, then I'm not going to have courage because it's on me, and I'm going to screw it up. So it's dependent on our confidence in God, that God is with us. This is all only relevant as much as we believe it, as we're confident in it, which leads us to the setting. This is important about Joshua's life that made him the man for this job, and that makes us for the man or woman for the job God is calling us for. And that's the setting that courage from confidence in God's presence, the setting that comes from. So a few things about this. Verse 7, this setting. Verse 7, look what it says about the life Joshua's leading. It says, be strong and courageous. And he says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So he says, so the setting here, we see the setting from verse 7, the setting for confidence in God's presence is a life of obedience to him. If we want to be confident in the presence of God, to really believe it, that comes in a life that's obedient to God. So the setting for confidence in God's presence is a life of obedience to him. Verse 7 says, important, obey all the laws, all the stuff. Be obedient to what I've told you to do. Be obedient to me. Don't turn from it. Don't shift to the right or to the left. Don't turn from it. It's just obedience. He says, your success is based on this. And this is important for us because I think the reason we respond with fear, I think this undermines this whole principle in us, is our disobedience. That when we allow disobedience to reside in our life, we're okay with disobedience. It's just fine with us. Well, then when God calls us to, because of my disobedience, I don't trust that God's really with me. When we disobey God, we feel far from God. Now, the reality is we're not far from God, but we feel far from God. He feels far from us. When I turn from him and walking in disobedience, he feels far from me. And when he's far from me, I don't have confidence that he's with me. And when I don't have confidence that he's with me, I don't respond in courage when he calls me into a fearful situation. Instead, I respond with fear. So it's important that we walk in obedience to God, that we live in obedience to him, an obedient life, because that's the setting that where I can have confidence that he's really with me and therefore have courage that'll see me through this fearful situation. Also, it's a life of obedience to him, that we hear God's call and respond to God's call. Because this isn't, don't ever be afraid of anything, that you can do whatever you want, because God is, if God's with you, you can do anything. Therefore, quit your job and go, you know, be the point guard for the Lakers. You can do it. Like, who can tell you, who can, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Go do it. So this is saying, when God asks us to do something, when he moves our heart to do something, we can say yes to him courageously. This isn't follow your dreams, build your kingdom, whatever you want. You know, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, it's not that stuff. This is saying, and this isn't saying, reject all fear, nothing bad will ever happen to you, and any of that. No, it's not saying that. This is saying we can follow God without fear. So that's how, there's an obedience part of this, all right? So there's an obedience. It isn't just you do whatever you want, and then God, you bless this mess. No, this is follow God in obedience. And as we do, we can be confident that he's with us. And as we're confident that he's with us, we can respond in courage. Okay, so the consequence of living in disobedience to God is living in fear, no confidence in him. All right. So the setting, so that was a setting for confidence in God's presence. Well, is a life of obedience? Okay, well, Tom, what's the setting for that? I want that. I want the life of obedience. So what's that setting? The setting for a life of obedience to God is found in verse 8. Look at what he says in verse 8. So after he says, obey all I've told you, then verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. So the setting for a life of obedience to God is continual focus on God's word. Continual focus on his word. So, and notice the continual part of the continual language in this passage. When he says, my word, God says, my word, keep it on your lips. Like, just keep talking about it. Just keep mouthing it. Keep it on your lips. He says, meditate on it day and night. Think on it. Dwell on it. Keep your mind on it. Day, night, all the time. This idea of continually doing this. And the result, he says, if you do that, if you can meditate on it day and night, keep it on your lips, the result is you'll be careful to do everything in it. Well, that sounds like obedience, right? He just said, do all this stuff. And in order to do it, meditate on it day and night, continually keep it on your lips so that you can be careful to do everything in it. And the result of that is you'll be prosperous and successful. Okay, so if we want to be serious about living a life of obedience so that we can be confident that God is with us, so that we can respond to him in courage in fearful situations, we need to continually be in God's word. One of the enemies in this of this week is this. Of this idea of being continually in God's word. Here's your biggest enemy. Oh, you already read that one. Oh, you know that story. Oh, this is familiar. Oh, I know how this ends. Close the book. We think because we read it once and we're familiar with it, well, then we're done with it. But that's not the language of this. This is talking about continually. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate isn't a glancing thought. It's thinking, it's dwelling on it. A lot of us think, I've kind of done all that. I know all the Bible stories. I know how that goes. And we don't. Instead, we put our mind on other things. We think, oh, I've completed that. I've checked that mark. But continually focusing on God's word. That's why Bible study has been such a good thing. We have a great time of Bible study here on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. We're just going through the Bible. And this isn't a how's your week Bible study. This is, we're going to open our Bible and read it. Bible study, and we have a great time together, and that's the purpose of this, just continually focusing on the word of God. So of course you're invited out to that here at the church Wednesdays from 7 to 8, but don't count on somebody else to do it for you. You can also do this on your own, and you should be doing it on just continually keeping the word of God, meditating on it, keeping on our lips. And again, this is where it begins. So when God calls us, so in conclusion, let's wrap this up. So God calls us to do something scary, something hard, and I think walking in faith means that. And if it doesn't in your faith, maybe something's a little bit off, like we should be challenged by the Spirit in our lives, and we're not, then maybe we've cocooned ourselves. But when God moves in our life to cause us to do something scary and something fearful, we can respond with courage. We can say yes to God in the midst of that fear. Why? Because God is with us. He's present through the process. He can handle it. I don't need to handle it. And the setting for me to be confident in that is a life of obedience. Because disobedience robs us from our confidence in his presence. And when in order to live a life of obedience, it's important to continually focus on the word of God. So we see that here in Joshua 1:1-9. Look at verse 9 as a summary statement. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So I can follow God with strength and courage, not the absence of fear, but proceeding through that fear. The reason I could do that, God is with me. And when I'm living that life of obedience supported by the continual focus on his word, I can live in the confidence of that wonderful truth that God is with me. Therefore, I can follow him no matter what with strength and courage. And what God might do, what might he do through City Lights Church here if we live this out and follow God boldly through fear, through situations that cause fear? What might he do in you? What might he do through you? In your family members, in your coworkers, in the person you come across at the store that you, when God, the Spirit triggers, you need to talk to him. What might God might do as we follow him boldly? So our closing encouragement is this, is to commit to the path of strength, following God boldly. Commit to that path of strength, following God boldly. Man, what might he do in and through us in Long Beach and beyond? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for by faith growing us into more than what we would be ourselves. Thank you so much for stretching us and growing us by calling us into situations that are hard and that require a trust in you. And God, I pray for each one here today, myself included, that we would respond in the midst of those of to that when we're faced with fear and following you, we would respond in courage. Restore to us our confidence that you are with us and you can do this. And yes, it may feel like if I get out on this limb and things go wrong, I'm sunk. But we know that you're with us. And so, God, we can respond in courage. And so, God, I just pray that you would just help us through that. Help us to keep continually focused on your word, to remain obedient to you, and just have confidence that you're with us and not let any of that drain away our confidence in you. Thank you so much for using us, calling us to be involved in your mission of growing your kingdom. Until you return. In Jesus' name, amen.